Would you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, I'm Caitlin Tarver.
And this really scares me.
Let's
you were born in 1989.
Yes.
That scares me.
That scares you?
Well, it scares me because even someone born in 1989, and again, never talk about a woman's age.
Right.
But it's just out of her 20s.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And that's 1989.
Yeah.
Now, if you talk about what year I was born.
Right.
We're not going to.
No, but also what scares me more is people who were born in like the early 2000s. Because they're like...
That's even possible.
That's even... Yeah, like it's like they're like 18, 19, 20, 21.
Yeah.
Like that's horrifying.
No, my daughter was born in, July 2000 and yeah.
Like that's more scary than 1989.
It is.
But I hear you.
So you are... I get to have fun. You're an actor, singer, songwriter...
Yes,
you are
multi-hyphenate.
Four EPs. We got your Nick. We got your ABC. Songwriter for others and yourself.
Yes.
You've got it all.
So far, it's I've got
all,
it all.
It's all happening.
What more is there to say?
Yes. How far out of the rest of the world, how rural is Glenville, Georgia?
It's pretty rural. I always have a hard time saying that word. It's like an hour west of Savannah, Georgia. A couple thousand people, like very.
So
I don't know what qualifies like what the scale is.
So what do you do there?
Well, you take dance classes at the local dance studio. Everyone kind of goes to the same school. You go to the one grocery store, or there might be two grocery stores now. There's a couple fast food chains. My grandfather started a pecan shelling company.
How perfect.
So my dad has now taken that over. It started as like a roadside stand, and now my dad still runs it, and he makes like chocolate covered pecans, cinnamon pecans, candy.
Wow.
Like, all
can
that
you, will
kind
you
of
just
stuff.
Be my best friend?
Yeah, yeah. You're going to want to get on my good side
because, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There could be like some... holiday gifts
this
coming
is
your
good.
Way.
This is good
if
stuff.
You play your cards right.
Yeah, I like it. So did you go to Savannah? Did you hop
yes.
on the bus or hop in the car? And was that the closest thing to a music, acting, theater thing scene?
Yeah, probably Savannah. There's obviously Atlanta, it's like 3-4 hours away. So Savannah was definitely the closest kind of like city that provided a little more opportunity, but I didn't do a ton of like singing, theater, music related things growing up. I took gymnastics, which was in Savannah. My mom would drive my sister and I to gymnastics a few times a week growing up. And then I would sing like in church or at like my school or talent shows and stuff like that. But it wasn't like a huge part of like my early childhood.
So where did formal training come in? Was there college? Was there all that stuff?
I basically had this experience where I went on a reality show. It was like American Idol for kids in 2003. And it was called American Juniors. And they only had one season.
Wow.
And it was the year after American Idol, the first season. So Kelly Clarkson had just won Idol. And they were like, we're going to do one for kids. And I was like, I have to audition. Like, I love singing. I'm going to be on stage and I want to be on TV. So I auditioned thinking there's no way I would make it past the first round. I was like, I'm going to be against like America's top like prodigy children. No way do I stand a chance. And turns out I did. And I ended up making it, you know, to the top 10. I was like on the show all summer. And it was just like this kind of turning point for me as far as like, and my family really, of like, oh, now like we've tasted this kind of like show business life and entertainment and performing. And now we all want to be in entertainment. So
oh, no.
From then on, I was like, oh, I want to be a singer. And my brother was like, I want to be an actor. And my
oh,
sister
no.
was like, I want to be an actor. Yeah, so it kind of ruined our family. I ruined our family.
Oh, no. You ruined our... Oh, my God.
Yeah, so my parents are like, what happened. So I did that show. I went back home to Georgia after that, and I was like convinced I was like about to be a star. I was like, great, I've got like it in the bag. And I went back home to eighth grade in like my small town again. And everyone was like, why are you wearing that weird outfit? Because I was like LA now, you know, it was like, felt like I was kind of cool. And they quickly kind of brought me back down to earth, and they were like, hey, like, we've known you your whole life. Like, why are you wearing those weird
shoes? And it's not that easy, by the way.
And it's not that easy, by the way, which I, you know, obviously quickly learned. It's difficult to pursue a career in this industry. But I, like, finished high school, and then when it came time for college, like, I had kind of kept pursuing it in a way as much as I could from Georgia. Like, I would sing on the weekends. Like, my dad would call, like, local things and be like, hey, my daughter sings, like, can she come sing at your middle school like talent show or your festival? Or
he became your booking agent.
Yeah, he became my booking agent, manager, all while still running the pecan factory. So
that's pretty busy.
But yeah, when it came time for college, I like applied, I got accepted, and then I decided not to go. You know, it was like a real movie moment.
Wow.
Yeah.
Parents were okay with that?
They were okay with it because I had at that point booked a little role on a Nickelodeon show. So I had that kind of in the bag. I didn't know what it would become, but it was enough to kind of give my parents a little bit of comfort of like, okay, she's not going out totally blank slate.
Did your parents say, okay, go to LA, pursue your dreams.
It was,
you can do it.
I mean, at that point, I had been talking about it for so long. I had made it clear, like, I want to be in LA. I'm like running behind. Like, I'm 18. Like, I'm old. You know, I've missed so many opportunities. Like, I was so anxious to be out here. And my older brother was gonna make the move with me. That made them feel a little bit better.
And he did.
And he did.
Is he in the business?
He is. He's an actor.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Working actor.
Yes. He's on a show called The Other Two on HBO Max.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're getting by.
It worked. Okay. So you get to LA, circle back 12 years.
Right. I mean, yeah. I would do that. I worked at American Apparel.
Well, no, but this is where
this
I'm
was,
going.
You know, early.
This is what you need to do.
2011, 12. But yeah, I worked at American Apparel. And then at that point, I also had been getting back into music stuff, and I had written some songs, and I got asked to go on a tour in 2011 with some friends I had made. And I had this like kind of self-made EP at the time, and I went out on tour, and then I ended up getting a record deal.
But okay.
So I'm skipping over a lot, but
I was going to say,
it's a lot of details, and I just,
no, but
I can get into them, but
no, but I just want to go back to a couple of things.
Yes.
Formal musical training.
None.
Zero, zippo, none.
None. Yeah. I mean, I took like voice lessons every now and then, but
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
So it was just, so I mean, I'm not being facetious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So obviously you were a natural.
I guess so. Yeah. I always was like, oh, should I like be going to like some conservatory and like really working my skills? I never did. I guess I just got really lucky. I'm not saying I don't have talent, but I got lucky.
So before we kind of dig in, at what moment did a switch flip that you said, it's one of my favorite things to ask, that you said,
okay,
oh, wait a minute, I can do this. This might actually be a career.
I mean, it's funny because I feel like I kind of had that moment when I was 13, when I got on that show, and I was like, it was definitely like a big eye opener of like, oh, I've just been kind of singing in my small town, taking gymnastics, like not even thinking about this as a career path at all. It's not like I was like, how do I go? I just didn't think I could do it. So me getting onto this show and like out to LA and filming and like on TV every week, it gave me this like boost of confidence of like, oh, I guess I am good at this. Like, I'm obviously good enough to make it to this point. So that kind of gave me the confidence I needed to at least have the mindset of like, oh, I'll I want to pursue this now. Like, I don't, I had no idea what it actually required, but like, it gave me enough of a moment of like, I'm going to try and go after this. And so, I don't know, like, I think moving to LA, I got on a show. A lot of things just sort of clicked pretty easily for me at the beginning. And then kind of like mid-20s, that's when I sort of had my moment of like hitting some roadblocks, kind of having to really ask myself the more difficult questions.
That's where I was going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
because there has in any life.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's why it's sort of, I don't know, like I've come to kind of see my story so far as like almost like riches to rags.
How did you get by and what took you, what was the bridge? What took you from, oops, there's a little bit of something that didn't go right.
Mm-hmm. So I was on the Nickelodeon show, and then I did a couple other acting roles, but nothing ever, you know, like I never was like the lead on a show that was like going for a couple seasons. So you kind of hit this place where you're like, okay. And then I got signed to this record deal, which was like amazing. They were like, great, we're going to make an album. And I don't think I was quite ready. Like, I don't think I had a real vision of what I wanted to be as an artist.
Did they have a vision of what they wanted you to be as an artist?
Not really. Like, it was kind of, it's not like I was coming to them with like this, you know, and it was like 2012. So the industry is so different.
But they didn't assign you a producer or a...
They set up, you know, sessions for me, but I was just so new. Like, I felt so green. I felt so like I didn't really know what was expected of me. I was just kind of like, oh,
and they weren't
guiding
you, which is kind of,
yeah, not really. Like, I didn't really feel like I had, and you know, like the type of deal it wasn't your kind of standard, like, here's your team at the label. I was like signed to the chairman, and I didn't really have like an A&R. It was just sort of one of those things that it was like, eventually you're going to kind of be a part of this. But
it's like a vanity deal, unfortunately.
A bit, yeah. Like, so I don't know. Like, I don't hold a ton of animosity towards it now, to be honest. Like, it was what it was. But yeah, I didn't have much guidance. I didn't have much to kind of help me along at that stage of my career. And so I kind of felt like I wrote these songs and then I recorded them, and I got to work with an amazing producer named Ludwig Göransson, who has obviously gone on to be very successful, and I mean was successful at the time, but he like composed Black Panther, and he works with Childish Gambino, and has won Grammys and Oscars, and anyway, he's amazing. But I got the opportunity to work with him, and we did this album, and then it was, at that point I had been signed for like 4 years.
Oh my gosh.
And so that's like my kind of whole...
That's
early
that's a
to
mid 20s.
And I was kind of like, okay, and I, now I have my album. So, like, what now? And it just it just was like at that point, no, like, I didn't really have this team. So, like, I don't really think they were super connected to my project. And so it was kind of just me screaming into the void a little bit. It felt like it was just like, I have these songs. And so eventually I put out a couple, like, basically, I put out this EP in 2017. Called Tired Eyes, and that had a couple of the songs that I had done with Ludwig and a couple new ones, and that was like my EP that I finally put out like with Universal, and
right,
it was
right.
licensed with someone else, but that was like 5 years after I'd signed the initial deal. So at that point it was like, okay, I either have to have some like strike of lightning moment, which then I, you know, sort of did. One of the songs from the EP went like pretty viral and is still kind of like my biggest streaming song to date. It's
I got the numbers right. I got
Yeah, you got the numbers.
The numbers.
But, you know, so that happened. And then while I was kind of on my record deal, I took a break from acting and auditioning because I was like, well, I want to be able to devote all of my time to music and making this album and really being invested. And so I took a few years off after I kind of had built some momentum in the acting industry. And so anyway, it all kind of culminates in like 5 years later, I had this album that no one really cared about. I was not auditioning, and I kind of had to be like, okay, like, where am I going from here? Like, yeah. Am I going to keep kind of trying this? Like, you know, you just feel so, it was just like a moment for me in my life of just like, oh, like, this is kind of when I'm going to have to really put the work in and decide if I like have the energy to keep working at this.
So what was it that got you over that's gotten you here?
I just kept at it. I just couldn't. I went back and started auditioning again. I went to acting classes. I wrote my ass off. Like, I was just like determined. I just was like, I know I can do this. I know this is what I want to do. I know I've gotten to this point for some reason, I guess. So like, I don't really know what else I would do. Like, I had enough to kind of like keep me on the line. And also during this time, I had written a song that was potentially going to be for my album. I ended up not wanting to get it for my album. And it got cut by a UK artist named Cheryl Cole. And it went number one in the UK in like 2014, I think.
Right.
So that was also kind of a lifeline for me, because not only did it bring in some money, but it also kind of helped with my mental
psychologically.
Like, I was like, all right, yeah, okay, I have something. Like, a song of mine went number one. Like, that has to mean something. So there were enough little things for me to hold on to kind of keep me in the game, I guess.
So between now, let's skip a few years.
Okay.
I'm going to do it in the announcer voice. Are you ready?
I don't know.
I think you are. I think we'll do it.
What are you going to say?
A turbulent period in your recent past.
Well,
that quote comes up a lot. So what do you want to tell me that has gotten the music here?
You know, like, I got married in my early 20s. So now I've been married for like 7 years. And I think it's hard to, I don't know, like, I just think there's been a lot of change in my life. I think I've changed a lot. Like, obviously you change a ton from your early 20s to your early 30s. And for me, it was like, oh, I'm so different now than I was. And then a pandemic hits and you're in the house all day, every day. And you're like, oh my gosh, like, what is this? And I think it was a tough time for relationships, and it was a tough time for mine.
You're still married.
Right. Yes, I'm still married.
You've made it to the other side.
Made it to the other side.
Where did you learn to write a song? Where did you learn what it takes to write a song?
A lot of it is kind of an innate thing. Like, I didn't know I could in a lot of ways. Like, I don't know. I also think just doing it, I've been doing it now for probably 10 years. And like, when I first started writing, the songs weren't this good. Like, they weren't tapping into the, you know, parts of myself that are like really vulnerable. Like, I've really grown a lot in my songwriting. And so I think I've also wanted to grow and wanted to, like, I take in a lot of like songs that are songs, like you're saying. And I respect those artists. I respect the craft. And like, I am just like, so, I just want to do a good job. Like, I want to be truthful. I want to, like, cause to me, I kind of am getting to this point where it's like, if I'm not going to write about real stuff and like kind of share my point of view, what's the point?
You want this to be what you're doing.
Yeah.
For reals.
Yeah,
the
for
kids.
Reals.
For reals, as the kids say.
I guess so. Do they? I hope it's the music. I hope it's the lyrics. I hope it's the feeling that I'm trying to get across. Like, like you said, I don't really have a lot of control over that. And I've done a lot of thinking and I guess work on being able to not put so much stock into that, because at the end of the day, if I'm like, if that's my motivator, like I'm already ruined because I can't control it. And like, then I'm such a like, I don't know. I'm like so addicted to whether it's being received well or poorly. And it's like, I have to be okay with what I made at the end of the day and be proud of it, even if nobody listens to it. And I know that's kind of like maybe a cheesy thing to say, but it's just, and I'm not saying I do that. I obviously want people to like it and I want it to do well, of course, but I just also want to be like excited about the things I'm making. And the best part of this is like the day you're writing the song and you crack the code and you're like, oh my gosh, I love this. And then beyond that, it's just stress of like, is this going to work? And what are we going to do for this? And then the production, and it can just become more about that instead of like what, you know, making art is for to begin with, which is like to hopefully create something that helps people feel connected to each other and to me, and maybe expresses something that they feel, and so therefore they feel less alone. And if that can happen, then that would be amazing. And if it gets to a bigger scale, that'd be even more amazing. But I do feel really proud of these songs, and I feel proud of this album. So I'm hoping that I can hold on to that at the end of the day.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich.
Okay.
And what it is two of your songs on the outside. And then in between, you get to play anything you want.